Well, let's go to Matthew first. Matthew 11. Might as well look at the whole of Matthew 11. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach in their cities. Now that means a whole lot more than what it appears to. The best way, the best thing you can do for any of your loved ones is to be a disciple. That's all. Then he will go and preach and teach in your cities, in your areas of interest. And it's critical that you understand this. Otherwise, you will be deceived. You will leave this gift of faith because of legitimate quote unquote concerns. Does that communicate? It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses, and the kings with a little K, I mean the leaders of this world. But what went you out to see? For to see? A prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. For all the law, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now what the heck does that mean? All the law and all the prophets prophesied until John. They were all in effect. They were all there until John, in the ministry of Elijah, declared, the only thing you can do now is repent. Turn from self.
And it was right at his baptism.
Right. That's right.
That wouldn't make sense because it prophesied until John, and then after that, when time, what we talked about yesterday, time was ended.
Amen.
And then there are Israel's prophecy.
For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. In other words, he fulfilled what Elijah's job was. He was a voice in the wilderness, making straight the highway for our God. And every preacher, every true preacher from that point forward, has duplicated the voice of John. I saw a email yesterday about what effect that the movie The Passion of Christ had had. And I sent it to several, I can't remember who I sent it to, but it's a minuscule percentage of people became believers because of that movie. I mean, less than 0.5%, 1% or some such thing. But anyway, the point of it is you can't use movies, or you can't use television or radio the only use of it is what John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Show forth the emptiness and vanity of all human effort. That's how you make the highway straight. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. It will take an eternity to understand what that means. He was manifest in the flesh, but he was justified only in the Spirit. And as he is in this world, so are we. There can never be a fleshly justification for your activity, for your being. You're justified in the Spirit. You're manifest in the flesh. And if that can penetrate, then you will have apprehended, or it will, the gift of faith will have apprehended you. You never again worry about justifying yourself by any activity or any aspect of the senses of the flesh. Right?
Can you talk about that violent verse? I read that and I don't understand what it means.
Well,
glad you asked that.
Huh?
I'm glad he asked that question.
Why didn't you ask it?
I don't mind why he interrupted. People are tired of me asking questions sometimes.
Have you ever found me to be shy?
No.
If I get tired of you asking questions, don't you think I'll tell you?
Yeah.
So if your judgment, that means you're still king in your household, doesn't it? Instead of saying what's there, you're sitting there as king of your temple.
Huh?
So you get it no matter what.
See, now he's praying that Kent Martin was here. Have you ever seen him when I exhort Kent? He just laughs his ass off.
Take it from me, you can't
carry that.
Neither can I. Right. Not bad.
That's going to take the rest of the Bible study. Will you remind me and we'll talk about it Monday?
In the morning.
No.
We'll talk about tomorrow morning's meeting.
No, send me an email. To remind me to talk about what that scripture means, okay? Because it's rather complex. It's not complex, but it's just going to take too long because I'm an idiot. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Now this is an incredible section of scripture here. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. I can't even say that word. Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heavens, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than the day of judgment for thee. Now what kind of thing is that to say? The point of this is it's what we talked about yesterday. The works of man, the cities, the buildings, the plans, no matter how good, no matter how right they may seem, are meaningless in terms of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that came, the time that was fulfilled, it's more, it would, Sodom and Gomorrah, at least there were some ashes left. There was a little bit of stuff left over. But when the end, the day of the judgment day, the day of the Lord, is when everything melts. Time and space goes. All that's left is eternity. All right, so this doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to say that the fullness of time ended at the when Christ said it did. Time was fulfilled. Doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's absurd. It's absurdity above absurdity. Now let's see what Christ said about it. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. We found out, Pete found out many, many years ago that one meaning of the word prudent is that 1 + 1 = 2, and making your judgments based on that. What?
I just thought you were going to say many years ago Pete found out something about the meaning of the word babes.
No, we know that that's not true.
No.
The word babes there is the one before self-awareness, those without self-awareness. The self-awareness is the veil that keeps everyone from seeing. All right. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. So next time somebody asks you if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, say not only no, but hell no. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, unto whom he will reveal him. Well, who does he reveal it to? He reveals the Father only to his bride. And that's what's slowly happening. That's what the word sanctification really means. It's the work of the Holy Spirit for the Son. The fruit of it is that you slowly but surely see the Father as all and in all, and there's nothing else. And when there is nothing else, then fornication is over. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain or be fed up with fornication, going anywhere else other than the Father for your need. I mean, you got to see this. If I'm right, and time ended from the standpoint of God at His appearance, at the baptism, after He said it immediately after the temptation of Satan in the wilderness, and He said, "Time is fulfilled." Kairos, the set time, not Chronos. Chronos is the passage of time. Kairos is the set time. Time is fulfilled, for the kingdom of God is here. Now, from that day forward until this day, there has been in reality this phony kingdom, or what they call in the Bible a kingdom of darkness, that all men live in, where judgments are made by your sight. And you try to use faith as a commodity But the real kingdom is where your heart is. You have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and you are living in a kingdom without regard to time. So you know you have been deceived in terms of how you react if time is a consideration. Is this really weird to you?
Not at all.
So every time, every occasion in which time becomes a concern to you, that's the signal of the Holy Spirit for you to abandon yourself. Now there's one exception to that, and that's called love, when you're meeting somebody else's need. Then you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No matter what the issue is, you lay it on Him. In other words, whatever the issue is, you have to make Him the subject of your sentence. That's what that means. Oh, I've got this terrible headache. Oh, I've got this terrible problem. Oh, I've got this. And it's a constant. You find yourself that all you do is think about you. And repentance becomes a constant state, not a single act. Another word for repentance is abandonment. Taking no thought of, or about, or for you or yours. Abandonment. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you my rest, is what it really says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, or humble in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you want to have a mantra, if you want to have a phylactery, this is one that's right up there with "it is finished." All right. Let's go to Galatians 4. Let's start a little earlier. Galatians 3:19. This used to, for about 2 years back in the early 70s, Galatians 3:19 to 4:7 was just my constant. I lived it. What?
I'm sure that translates well.
I forget that this damn thing is on. It was my constant reference. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, God made his own contract with himself. And if Abraham and his descendants failed, then God would die, which has already happened. His death then became the completed covenant of Abraham. So it's all over. This is an incredible scripture if you understood. A contract was made with himself. that if either one of them broke any aspect of the contract, that God would die. He put Abraham to sleep. Now you are the seed of Abraham because Christ is your life. And the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to this one seed, which is Christ. So you are part and parcel of that contract. Only if you recognize that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you. Then that contract is in full force. If you're still running around thinking that Christ is going to help you and God's going to help you do your stuff and do your shtick, then you're still a babe. I'm not saying whether or not you're saved, but you're like a little kid. Everybody understand? A little bit? If you understood what I just said, then you would understand the kingdom of God suffereth violence until now, and the violent take it by force. Because the flesh is always trying to suppress down the spirit. They're always at war. And the spirit is always trying to suppress down the flesh so that you cannot do the things that you would do. Now I don't have to talk about it. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before, now listen to this, before faith came, or before faith now comes, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, the gift of faith, which should afterward be revealed. So you're kept under, you try to do this, you try to do that, and the flesh is trying to do this, and the spirit's doing that, and you can't do the things that you want to do. Nothing goes right. Until the purpose of that violence to you, it's not violence to anybody else, but it's violence to you. The purpose of that violence is to cause you to come to the total and complete end of yourself, where you recognize first the gift of wisdom. The axe has been laid to the entire human race. And the gift of knowledge is applying that in every single aspect of life until finally when there are no more, when you know that the axe has been laid to the root of the tree, there is nothing else, then you know and see the gift of faith. You've apprehended it because of your emptiness. You don't like this. If you have any integrity at all, you don't like this. This is not good news to modern man. This is really bad news.
All vanity and vexation of spirit, God doeth that the man might be humble.
Before faith came or comes, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. The faith. Now what? When it says the faith, it is talking about the gift of faith of the Holy Spirit. It's not the saving faith, which to every man has been given the measure of faith, where you can believe in Him for a while until you find out that fails. The gift of faith is so that you can now live by the faith of Christ instead of trying to get it yourself. Is it gelling at all? I wish that hadn't used that word.
Fortunately, Gary's not here.
Yeah, don't tell him. Right, I'm sure you won't. This is a terrible group of people. You know that?
Are you kidding? Won't remember that by 10 o'clock?
Wherefore, The law was. The law is. Now, it's not... you got to understand. The law here includes, obviously, the law of God, which is spiritual, but it also includes all the made-up laws. Cause and effect. Reward and punishment. All the laws of behavior that you have adopted. So the law is our schoolmaster. And the schoolmaster was a hired slave. So all this other stuff is just a slave for your purpose. Wherefore the law was our school, or is our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith alone. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You become children by faith in, you become an adult spiritually by faith of. You don't progress to that, you degress to that. You become the fullness of Christ. This word, the word adoption, you remember, is huiothesios. And it means the placing of the fullness of the Son. And so when you, as you decrease, as there is no more you in the temple, then he is there. It's the simplest thing in the universe. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is neither young nor old. Because it's it's something that never existed before. It's a new race. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing at all from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors, the schoolmasters, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements or principles of the world. But when now the fullness of time has come, God sends forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption, the placing of the Son. And because you are sons or legitimate children, God sends forth the Spirit of His Father into your hearts, crying, Abba, Abba. Crying, thank you, Daddy. Abba means Daddy. The most intimate word in the Greek language that you can use for Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a full adult being. And if you're an adult, then an heir of God through Christ. But it's all dependent on this, going through this period of time, under the schoolmaster, under the tutors and governors, until the time appointed. What is the time appointed? You're not waiting for it, because the time appointed came at the baptism of Christ. After his temptation in the wilderness. That's when Christ said, the time is fulfilled. So the only thing that we're waiting for is your emptying. The mystery is complete. It was then.
That was a strange way to put it, because it's like, well, the period of time that I was under the law,
But it has to go through, the seed of Christ has to go be tested for the bride. There's not 50 jillion, billion different separate identities.
Right.
There is one identity, the bride. And that bride is made up of all these separate cells. Billions, probably. I don't know how many. But the interesting thing is, just like in the natural, a cell that is continuing in self-seeking is a cancer. That's the definition of cancer. There are many different kinds of cancer in your body as there are different types of cells. And so once a cell turns to self-seeking, then it can't. It has to be excised by the cross, by the preaching of the cross. It's not the person, it's that thing, that part of the fuller being. You remember, that's why Christ used the analogies for his bride, or for this body of bread. And we've talked about many times how the grain grows up and it's wonderful, and then it falls in the ground and dies, and then it's buried alone, and then it goes through the oven, and then it's there to be eaten by somebody. The same is true with the grape in that context. Each one of us are separate grapes, but if the grape tries for self-realization, then spiritually it is leprous. And it'll stay leprous until the entire grape is seen as leprous. And then when it's seen as leprous, or I am the chief of sinners, then it's declared clean. So all that wine is rotting grapes. That's why prophecy is so necessary. Otherwise, the rot is internal. Yeah, that's enough.
Two guys walking, Luke and Cleopas walking to Emmaus, you know, with each other in the fellowship of the mystery and all that, and concerned and thinking about Jesus and all the stuff, doing the stuff. And there he is. And when they eat the bread, he disappears because he's in them. It's just, they go from being children to adults.
Because of the gift of faith. And can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's all right. Come on in. We're done. Hi. All righty. Take a big guy.
Pray for everything.